Welcome to episode 563 of Salcedo Paranormal. I'm your host, James Salcedo, and tonight I'm continuing my review of The Book of Ceremonial Magic by Arthur Edward Waite. It's been amazing so far. Looking forward to continuing on with that. All episodes of the show can be found, along with links to social media and other ways to contact me, can be found at the podcast page. And that is salcidoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O, paranormal.podbean.com. Always happy to hear from y'all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. Thank you all for listening. Whether you are here for the live streams on Discord, or if you listen to the podcast or YouTube feeds, or on the Trouble Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting. There you can hear replays of two episodes of the show every night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before Trouble Minds Radio comes on. And as always, I'd like to thank Michael Strange, host of Trouble Minds Radio, for putting my shows up on the station. If you'd like to support the show, there are some different ways to do that. You can always share the show with others, rate and review it on your favorite podcast platforms. You can also find paranormal fiction and nonfiction books I've written over on Amazon. You can also sign up to the Patreon page, where there is usually one extra episode of the show every month for all paid membership tier levels there. Or you can just make one-time donations through PayPal. Support is never expected, but always appreciated, as there are expenses making these shows, from equipment to research materials to travel expenses in some cases. So I think that takes care of all that, so I don't stumble over anymore. Continuing on this book review, and again, how I do these shows is. I use AI to summarize each section or chapter of a book, and I make sure I pick books that are in the public domain, and so that's part of what we're doing this here. But also because I'm very interested in the connections between magic and the paranormal. Excuse me. So, getting to the document here, we were in the middle of. Let me see here. Chapter 2, we are on Section 3, the Incuridion of Pope Leo III, I believe it is. So the summary here says that it is not a book of ceremonial magic, but it is often misconceived as such. It needs to be analyzed to establish its true character. So that's something right there. It's amazing to think about that, because if there are books out there that are sort of mistaken as being something that they're not, and yet they're still being used, do they still have power? That's a question I think would be important to try to answer, if possible. It says, some Catholic bibliographers angrily reject the pontifical attribution and call it an infamous storehouse of black magic. Eliphas Levi says it has never been printed with its true figures. Alfred Morey describes it as a work on sorcery with Neoplatonic and older influences. The legend states that in 800 AD, Pope Leo III presented Charlemagne with a collection of prayers with wonderful virtues as a memento after his coronation. Carrying it with respect and reciting it daily would protect from all dangers. Supposedly, first printed in Rome in 1523, the earliest available editions are from 1633 and 1660. The 1633 edition shows evidence of being edited by a grimoire maker. The content is a collection of religious charms promising protection against perils on land, water, on land and water from enemies, beasts, and poisons, and fire, and weather, tempests, basically, in general. It claims to provide happiness and prosperity if instructions are followed. So there you have that key point there. So it says here now, the next section is getting into it a little bit. It says, instructions. Keep the book in a clean bag. Vow to carry it and read a page daily. Read on knees, facing east. Perform acts of piety to the celestial Genii. Give alms to the poor. It contains magical doctrines on planetary intelligences, similar to the Arbitel, and hints of secondary deities, as in Trithemius. So it says the Gospel of John is considered, most potent. Mysterious figures are said to be extracted from rare ancient manuscripts and work by sympathy with celestial intelligences. Isn't it amazing how that phrase pops up in so many things, celestial? So much so that it's been even worked into sci-fi and Marvel as a whole, basically a whole kind of just cosmic creature that is just immensely powerful. Anyway, it just always amazes me. So anyway, getting back to this text here, it says it features enumeration of divine names, characteristic of ceremonial magic. Prayers incorporate these names, mendaciously citing Dionysius. And content includes penitential psalms, litany of saints, mysterious prayers of Pope Leo, a conjuration against injury by steel weapons, a pseudo-epigraph epistle of Jesus to King Abgar, miscellaneous prayers attributed to saints and popes, and curious secrets to gain magical ends through prayer. So that's the end of that section. It's always amazing when documents say, this can be yours if you do it right. And then the implication is, well, if you do it wrong, then what's going to happen? So let me see here. Getting back to the chat, I saw all the things that you guys posted about the stuff we were talking about during the break there, and I'll make comments on those later. But let's see. Ricky in the chat says, yeah, there are so many underground. Oh, going back to that whole topic. So let's see here. Like from Derek says, like the Necronomicon eventually being used. So basically as a real grimoire, even though it came from fiction. like a book of video game cheats to hack your game. Exactly. Yep, so that's amazing. And of course, I mean, not that I know a lot about the history of all these things, but the I didn't know for a long time that there were that sort of the idea of there were ideas of prayers and even charms and different things within the Catholic or Christian religions there that seemed to be very magical in a way. So I think that's amazing. It just shows everyone seems like everyone around the world has been thinking about these things over time and trying to figure out how to do that, how to get to those game cheat codes, as Derek says there. And for various reasons, not even necessarily always bad, but just for various reasons. So let me see here. Moving on to the next section. This one is section 4. This gets into the actual, some of the material. And this is the, section 4 is called the Seven Mysterious Orisons. It says the seven mysterious orisons are prayers for each day of the week. And so it goes into summaries here of all these. And it says, Sunday asks for deliverance from all past, present, and future excuse me, evils of body and soul. Invokes intercession of the Virgin Mary, Apostles Peter, Paul, Andrew, and all saints. Requests peace and health to never be the slave of sin or fear trouble. Invokes the peace of the Lord, it says here, his countenance, body and blood, for assistance, consolation, and protection. And appeals to Christ as the Lamb of God, born of Mary, who cleanses sins and saves the faithful. So again, this is all according to this one document within this one book here. So I don't really have any personal views on all this, as far as I think everyone can have their own religion as long as everyone is respectful and doesn't hurt anyone. So that's why I never talk about that in the show directly. But this is part of a history of these materials. So anyway, going on to Monday. Says it calls on the great God, in quotation marks, to deliver from evil, grant consolation, aid, and succor in all necessities, miseries, enterprises, and dangers. Asks deliverance from hindrances and snares of visible and invisible enemies. That's a neat little phrase there at the end, as in like other entities, sounds like. Invokes the basically the Holy Trinity there, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Requests blessings of the Father Almighty, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Virgin Mary. So that's Monday. I'm going to just skip the rest of these here just because it seems like it's variations on these the same things. So it just seems like this is a constant way to be thinking about these things and asking for these things all week long. So I think we can safely skip that pretty easily. Let's see here. So yeah, unless you all really want me to go through it, but I think it seems like it's a lot of the same things. So, and we might be able to get through another section if I skip the rest of that. So, again, we're looking into the sort of the history of this stuff as well as all of the potential ideas behind it all. So, Derek in the chat says, I wonder what it would look like if you asked the AI to translate it as a gamer. Yeah, good question. So, see if it explains it like video game power-ups and Easter eggs and stuff. Yeah. So, moving on to the next section here, that way we can get at least one more section done today. And actually, I think this is the last section of that chapter, I believe. Yes, okay. So I definitely want to do that. Section 5, summary of transcendental magic. So here we go. The examination of the rituals of transcendental magic is concluded, covering all treatises that have been given any significant attention. There may be other treatises existing only in manuscript without literary history, but they fall outside the scope of this inquiry. Waite believes nothing of significance has been overlooked compared to what was briefly mentioned in the first chapter, but states it ultimately does not matter, as enough has been covered already. The general conclusion is foregone based on the premise stated at the outset. The rituals are not worthy of the name transcendental, and the term does not properly belong to them. On one hand, the rituals contain a collection of prayers falsely attributed and modern in origin, so there's one factor right there, that have no reasonable occult significance. Okay, so now he's basically saying this thing wasn't even a genuine document. I think I already said that, actually. I just missed it. Or I forgot about it. It says, as devotional content, they are innocent. But used as charms, they are offices of vain observance. So I would agree there. If it's all not written by who it says it is, then that's important to note. Says, on the other hand, there is a simplistic rite for invocation of Olympic spirits, there's that phrase again, which despite the author's grand claims, is more childish than exalted. No one today would be naive enough to take the angelical offices literally. So this almost seems like he's kind of writing off a lot of that. Therefore, transcendental magic is hyperbolical in its premises, which would be considered frivolous from a mystical standpoint if construed literally. Occult students will not gain insight from these processes, but the subject remains a curious and fantastic branch of bibliographical research. The author was able to clarify some doubtful points in this research, making it worth pursuing in that sense. In conclusion, in respect to the rituals of transcendental magic, there are no truly transcendental rituals, and they do not contain occult truth. So it seems like there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, is basically what they're saying here with a lot of this. And yet there's still some things that I've heard of over the years. People talking about things in the far past and even currently. People that are into magic, that do magic, that have actual results. So, let me see here in the chat here. Ricky says, well, three of the major religions do come from Abraham and have more in common than they really want to talk about. Yeah. Seems that way. But anyway, so I think we'll stop with that section. But it's amazing how it goes through all that material. And then it says, but this isn't really useful. This isn't really anything worth anything. Because it's not written by who it says it is. And all these other factors in that. And I'm sure it's probably going to point that out whenever that happens with other documents as we go through this book as well. So, but I wonder, again, and this kind of goes back to, it's funny, this goes back to this the previous episode we just recorded here earlier tonight. That'll be the last episode if you're listening to this as a podcast. The idea that sometimes people sort of have these ideas to do things like, let's do magic. Or let's just try this, and it's not going to work. But let's see how it feels to go through all these rituals or whatever. Or let's just do this because it seems like it's fun and will freak people out. And so they do things like put dolls in swamps and leave them there, tied to or connected to bamboo shoots or whatever, and other people come to the area and they're obviously freaked out. So it has some effect. So yeah, it's funny how these things kind of do connect sometimes. So the next time we do this show here, this review, we will be getting into chapter 3, and that is composite rituals. This is where, I'm not sure if it's in the first section, it might be a little bit further in, it starts talking about different angels, according to different documents throughout time, and it goes over a bunch of them. So this we may go into, because it seems like it's more than just repeated phrases over and over again. So we will definitely go over that in more detail. I just didn't want to read the same things, basically, in different variations of the same phrases or the same ideas. So the next chapter we'll be getting, in the later sections of it, we'll be getting into some actual, apparently some entity names. So that's exciting in a way. Good thing we're just summarizing this, like I always say, because just in case. But hope you all are enjoying this series. I am so far. And I think it's a good thing to look into the history of all these things, magic, as far as that goes. And whether it's real for anyone or not, or people or not, it is for others, it seems like. So it definitely has a place, and paranormal things do seem to surround it or connect to it. And that's why I wanted to do this series on this book. Other books we're going to get into eventually. I have one on funeral rites throughout time, funeral practices. So we'll find some other books to go over as well that are public domain that seem to touch on these things. So, but I think that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. And I will talk to you all on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care.